And it's a manifestation of the Trinity, and it's also a manifestation of God's love for mankind. For those who attended the blessing of the waters in the park yesterday, I mentioned that God's love is an outgoing love. It's an outflowing love. When God created mankind in the beginning, He did not create him out of any need or necessity or anything that was lacking within Himself. If we want to say that God created mankind for any reason, we might say that He created him as an expression of His outgoing love from the Trinity, because there is nothing lacking within the Trinity. God created mankind out of love, for communion, and for fellowship. Even knowing that we would go astray, and all through the Old Covenant, you know, sometimes God gets a bad rap. They think that He's a dysfunctional father with a bad attitude. But all through the Old Testament, God chose Abraham, and then He sent prophets. He gave them kings. He gave them judges, all as an expression of His love to bring His people back to their senses and bring them back to communion with Himself. And then we find that even when they did not listen to the servants that the Lord had sent them, He sent them His only Son, only begotten Son. And therefore, in our understanding, God is a stooping God. We sing in many of our hymns, "Glory to Thy Divine Condescension," that God stoops down to earth. And in the last feast, we commemorate Him being born in a cave and lying in a manger. He could have taken many other paths coming into this world. But in the Old Covenant, He revealed Himself in Mount Sinai with the thunder and the lightning and the shaking of the mountain and the pillars of smoke and the fire by day. And in the New Covenant, we have the baby in the manger in a cave, which prefigures His death, burial, and resurrection. God comes to us at Christmas, in the Nativity, to restore us from whence we had fallen. Christ comes to the waters of the Jordan to sanctify the waters, because God desires that His creation that has gone astray be reunited with Him, so that we might be transfigured and transformed. So Christ not only sanctifies human nature through His incarnation, but He begins the process of the sanctification, purification, and deification of the world in which we live. We're not of those that say that the world is of no good and it all is going to be destroyed with fire. We will say it will be purified by fire, cleansed. But when God created the heavens and the earth and all it contains, He says, "Behold, it's good. Behold, it is very good." So as we bless the waters at the end of the service today, let us keep in mind the reading of the epistle. And if we were here last night, the Old Testament readings, the purpose of the incarnation and the purpose of the blessing of waters is not simply that God might sanctify waters because He's interested in water, and not simply that we might sanctify the water for the blessing of our homes, as though He's only interested in our house. God sanctifies the waters by being baptized therein for the sanctification of the whole world, for the purification and deification, so that we might partake of His divine nature. And most importantly, brothers and sisters, the waters are blessed so that when we partake of them, we would ask that the Lord would purify us from sinful and evil habits, and that we would begin to live a life that is pleasing to God. Christ is baptized not because He needs baptism Himself. John the Baptist is baptizing with a baptism of repentance. But He comes to show us the way to salvation. And as we recall the baptismal service for our children, we read the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. And as we are buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, If we read St. Paul carefully in the book of Romans, it says, since you have been buried with Christ in the likeness of his death, you are also resurrected, being brought out of the water in the likeness of his resurrection. And there's a therefore there. And when there's a therefore in Scripture, we would see what it's there for. It's there to tell us that since we have been buried with Christ in his baptism, we are to consider ourselves dead to sin. Consider our members dead to sin and alive unto God. And he uses this word consider or reckon repeatedly in Romans chapter 6. So when he says consider our members dead to sin, consider our hands dead to sin and alive to God, that we don't use our hands in a way that does not glorify God, but in a way that glorifies him. Consider our lips and our mouth dead to sin, dead to gossip, dead to spreading things that are untrue, dead to idle talk, dead to filthy speech and impure humor, and alive unto God through the singing of hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. Consider our eyes dead to sin, so that they might look on those things that are pure. Consider our feet dead to sin, so they don't take us to places where we should not go, but alive unto God so that they bring us to his holy house for prayer. St. John Chrysostom in his day said that people would ask, why do we not see the miracles of old that we read about in the Gospels? And his response was, brothers and sisters, when we have trained the hand not to be greedy, but to give alms to the poor, we've healed the withered hand. When we've trained the eyes not to look on unseemly things, but to read the sacred scriptures and the writings of the fathers, we've healed the eyes that are blind. When we've trained the feet not to take us to unseemly places, but to bring us to places of service in the kingdom of God, then we've healed the legs that were lame. And when we've trained the ears not to listen to idle gossip and speech, and trained them to listen only to those things that edify and build up the body of Christ, we've healed the ears that are deaf. So as we partake of this blessed water today, I pray that the sanctifying grace of the All-Holy Spirit will go through your fire as a body and purify every accusation of sin and the passions, as we say when we say the prayers before Holy Communion, so that we will become everything that God desires and intends each and every one of you and I to be. Let us offer the Holy Oblation in peace.